He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.
And I'm getting ready to go to the auto show this week, of this show. May not be the week you hear it, but that's the week we're going. And I'm looking forward to looking at some new vehicles that I've been watching on radar. One is the Jeep Wrangler pickup. There is a Sharon resident who shall remain nameless, who is already wanting to buy one because he is tired of looking at everybody else coming down the road in a Wrangler. And that's his reasoning. I don't know whether I like the picture of it. I've only seen pictures. I haven't seen it live. I hope it's at the auto show, and I'll report on it in next week's show if I see it. Another car or truck or SUV I'm looking at is the RAV4 Redo, which is apparently quite radical from what all you listeners who may be driving Toyota RAV4 SUVs have been driving for the past 3 to 4 years. The automakers are doing their best to start differentiating their models either from other models in their lineup that have the same front ends and same tail ends, but maybe a different size vehicle, such as the Toyota Corolla and the Toyota Camry, the Sonata Elantra, the Hyundai Elantra and the Hyundai Sonata. And I have been talking on this show for some time about similarity of front ends making cars very much hard to differentiate from model to model in the same manufacturer's lineups. And I think exterior appearance can be very much on people's minds when they go to buy cars. I know a woman who purchased a last year's Lexus model because she didn't like this year's Lexus model's front end, and so on. And it goes on and on. And I think, Jill, you probably like the looks of your cars as much as anybody else does when you go to look at a new car, besides the functional utility that you need for your various reasons, things like animals and that kind of thing.
Yep.
But
But what I don't know is how you time it.
You mean you as a purchaser?
One as a purchaser. How does one know? Because the model years are so confusing, if you will.
You're right.
I don't know how you time. It's like, I like the 17 is tall. I'm making this up. But the 17 is tolerable. The 18 went ugly.
Correct.
How do you know when?
Unless you are a guru of the car industry and you are getting automobile magazines, which show these models months in advance of their appearance on the road, and you can do something about it, you get caught up in maybe having to buy a certified used vehicle.
Which
of
probably
up to 3 years
isn't
old.
So terrible.
I would. We can start on that because I agree
point.
With you. Car prices are going up. There's no question that when the electric models get on the road, they're going to be even more expensive. And we've talked about our listenership probably being in the $30,000 or less range in terms of desirability or affordability from a large segment of our listeners in terms of car payments and the like and insurance. And now we add the idea of appearance into the mix of what one can look at and what one wants to look at and what one wants to own versus what one can or cannot buy. And you have hit the nail on the head as far as that kind of solution to a problem of when a new year's models don't look as interesting as last year's models. And I'll tell you right now, I'm one of those people. I like my 2013 Sonata Hybrid visual appearance better than I liked everything up through 2017 in subsequent iterations of those cars that Hyundai's been putting out. I have yet to see a live view in the new Sonata for 2018, and maybe it's going to be called 2019, I'm not sure, has yet to hit the dealership. It's bigger than mine, and I don't need a bigger car, so I'm not in the mood to think about replacing my 2013. But I do like the front end. It is unique. It is.
Yeah, you specifically got it, in fact, because it didn't look like every other car.
You look at every other Sonata Vision, the Sport, the 2.0 sport model of the Sonata Limited and all that, they all looked boringly similar, and you couldn't tell what the driver was driving coming down the road.
Now, separately, you were just on a road trip. What did anything stick out? Like, were there any observations just going and coming that's like
I have just returned from a round trip to Canada where I skied, and I had to make a couple of decisions about what car to drive because of weather conditions, because as we are broadcasting this morning, I came back on Monday or Sunday, and everything was looking spring-like.
Right.
And this morning, we are slithering down the road on a snowy road, and the grasses are white, and it's we're ready for it to go. But I ended up gambling that I could get through any kind of winter weather that Canada might throw at us while I was up there skiing in the mountains. And I took my Sonata Hybrid as opposed to the Jeep Cherokee. And I did it out of the Grinch part in me saying, I'll bet I can get 35 miles a gallon versus 25 in the Jeep. So that's 10 more miles per gallon per tank full.
Well, you're back, so it must have gone all right.
I went 1,200 miles. I actually was able to drive just about 640 miles in Canada. I filled up right outside the border before I went in, and I put on roughly 600 miles before I came out. And I did purchase $20 worth of fuel to get me through to the U.S. border, where I knew the prices would drop by approximately $1.50 to $2 a gallon.
That's what I was going to ask
gas.
You. Do people even? I just remember the few times that
nobody listening to me is going to think this was a smart way to try to do it, because you sit there and you watch your fuel tank go down towards low, and you watch how many miles you got to go to empty, and can you make it to the border?
We
or
once
not?
Had a diesel situation on Route 22 like that. This is interesting as the light comes on. And no one suddenly, when the light comes on, suddenly no one is selling the
gas you need.
Gas
I had that in my diesel, in Vermont, no less, and I was running out of diesel and wanting to get
suddenly, there's no, you
but
can't find
to it. The price's point, diesel in Canada is roughly 3 to 4 cents a gallon higher than regular grade gasoline in Canada, and that's 3 to 4 cents per liter higher. It's not by the gallon, so it's 4 liters averaging out to a gallon of gas, a little bit more. But
so what does it run?
So it's running at around $1.25.9 to $1.29.9 per liter of regular grade fuel in Canada, and the diesel was either on par with that or a few cents higher.
Right.
Now, the other thing about Canadian car driving is that they are required to put winter tires on there. All people have winter tires on all four wheels of their car through, I don't know whether it's a month schedule or whether it's something else scheduled. So everybody's got stock steel wheels with four snow-treaded tires on it because of the winter conditions that you can have to endure in Canada.
Right.
I don't have any snow tires on my Hyundai Sonata. And apparently, I suppose if you were in an accident, I was told by somebody who's familiar with that kind of thing, if you were in an accident in a car vehicle and you had the improper tires on, you could get ticketed for improper tires as well as whatever other things you might find yourself in trouble for, especially if you were the perpetrator of the accident. We don't have those regulations down here. We do have people trying to sell you four snow tires if you want to put two on because you have a two-wheel drive car, be it rear wheel or front wheel. And I'm on record, and I stay on record as saying, if you are a reasonably competent driver and you are not really having to go up and down a hilly driveway or anything, you don't need four if you've just got a two-wheel drive car. But you should probably put... I would say I will modify my stance a little bit by saying if you have a rear-wheel drive car, of which there are a few out there today that most listeners are probably driving, you probably ought to put snow tires on the front because of the steering capability that snow-treaded tires will give you over non-snow-treaded tires. But if you have a front-wheel drive car with the rear tires basically trailing the front tires, I don't think you need to spend the extra $150 or more a tire
unless
to put two rear tires on unless you're driving in Canada. So be it. But I got lucky. It did snow the last couple of days I was in Canada. Actually, it snowed very much like we're experiencing in our broadcast area on the morning of this show. And the road surfaces were basically warmer than the temperate air, and most of the snow that was falling was either melting on impact or basically not piling up on the road part, so that it didn't make a difference whether I had snow tires on
so
or not.
So did you bring your Sonata to the station?
I did.
Okay. Because it's totally practiced in the
snow. Oh, I've got another stupid reason why I didn't bring the Jeep Cherokee. And the listeners don't need to laugh at me on that.
We'll spare you.
So
you are getting excited for the auto show.
I am. It'll be in a few days, and if we're here next week at the same time, I will be talking about it. They've got also VWs are planning a pickup. You know, Mercedes is going to build a pickup truck. I don't understand the need to try to compete with the world of Fords, Chevys, Dodge Rams in the United States with what will be low-volume competing pickup truck situations.
Is it just for the U.S., or are they planning to market it
elsewhere? I haven't read the little headline article I'm looking at. It just says, a headline says, a pickup VW needs and how it could be a winner. You know, I believe that they can sell pickup trucks for more than they can sell the equivalent-sized car vehicle or SUV vehicle, because you only have a pickup bed in the back. You don't have a roof, glass, electric windows, seat belts, seats, all those other things that go into cars, and yet they can charge, you know, pickup trucks now, the big pickups, full-size American pickups, basically start at probably sticker at $40,000 and go right on up the scale. And you're buying a pickup with maybe a quad cab, which does have two rows of seats and that kind of thing, but does not necessarily have electric opening windows all around and all those things. But a big pickup bed in the back, which doesn't cost a whole lot to build and drop on. And they're getting big prices for pickups because that's where the profits are. The manufacturers can make 10 to $15,000 profit on, I think, between the build cost and maybe the wholesale cost out to the dealership, because you can see those givebacks at year-end sales when you see the ads on TV, which you've noticed and I notice all the time. You can save up to $11,000 on certain models of pickup trucks if you buy one before the 31st of some month that the specials is going to end at.
It's just that they're utilitarian. I'm not certain how I feel about something that's an absolute necessity for certain types of work being that, you know, when you're opening a business, for example, you just, like, how do you do it?
Well, one of the things you plan on is what kind of vehicle you need to your business. Now, a real estate business isn't going to need a pickup truck.
No, that's true.
And
But farm business is. That's
correct. Farm business is.
These are not high price.
Contractor businesses are, and they're going to need vans or they're going to need pickup trucks. And you look at all our plumbers that go around in these Ford Transit Connects and Dodge Ram vans and that kind of thing.
Because you got to be able to fit stuff in it.
And outfit them with racks and all that kind of thing. But they're all expensive vehicles too. They're base ones without any interior appointments start at $20,000+ for the mid-sized little parcel vans.
That's what I mean.
And they go right on up the ladder in cost of interior appointments.
Now, can you do? Remember when getting a pre-owned Prius was a bargain? Can you get pre-owned in these situations or not?
The question is how have they been used and maybe abused, and what has their life on the road been like? And yes, you can find them. You probably could find those down in the southern states like Florida, South Carolina, and all that, which would be in relatively good condition. But they generally have much higher mileages per monthly use than used cars or rental car sales and that kind of thing. I am one of the few people that still likes a sedan. The industry has been wailing away at the lamenting the fact that sedan sales are falling off the face of the off the cliff relative to what they've been doing. And they're going to come back. In the meantime, they're going to be something going to disappear.
Right.
And just as Ford, in my opinion, made such a mistake letting the Ranger pickup truck go to the grave and has taken, years?
Here it comes.
Here it comes back. It's going to be bigger. It's going to be like the Chevrolet competing one. But Dodge also stopped their Dakota pickup, mid-size, small-size pickup, too.
Are they bringing that back?
Well, they're not so far bringing it back, but here you've got Volkswagen deciding to jump into it. Mercedes is jumping into it and building a pickup as yet to I have yet to see it. Maybe it'll be at the auto show. It'll be interesting to see. Titan.
I don't want to say smaller, but they are.
They're smaller, but they're going to cost. They can be optioned right up to the big boys, not dollar for dollar. At option level for option level, but the midsize pickups, the Chevrolet Colorados and the GMC, whatever their brand, Canyons, outfitted with quad cabs and luxury interior appointments can go right up to $50,000. Now that's not 70 that the big boys.
Do people care that their dogs drool and put hair and
nope.
and hammers? And,
I don't think they do.
They really don't, huh?
No, they really don't.
Or
else they have pets that ride in the pickup beds, and you see that go on. And I can't see Jill Goodman.
No, it's not that. I just never went for high lux because it was always going to be drooled or sneered or
that's
you
true.
Know,
remember the Honda Element? What a great vehicle that was. It had rubber mats on the inside. You could open four doors, stick a hose in there, and basically hose it out. Now, the Wrangler, the newest Wrangler from Jeep can do that too. And they've got waterproofed or sealed their dashboard with all this technology in it so that if you take the roof off of a Wrangler and drive around and get stuck in a rainstorm, you won't short out all the electronics.
I'm glad they thought of that. Unfortunately, the whole spraying out the car thing, which I thought was great, and I remember there was a Land Rover. It was the first. It wasn't the
The
big
old
one. It was the Discovery. It was the original Discovery. And the whole – one of the selling points, this was decades ago, was that you could hose it out. And I kept thinking,
one in
I
a thousand
so many,
don't hose it out.
You have so much.
You have other crap in
exactly
there, like papers and
exactly,
stuff.
Exactly, that is not waterproof.
It's not waterproof. And the nuisance of cleaning out the interior before you hose it out is enough
really
to make
annoying.
You discourage you
yeah,
from doing it.
Quite right.
Absolutely. So the auto show is going to have a bunch of things that I want to look at. They've got hits and misses in the latest issue of Automotive News, which I get weekly, either online.
Do you frequently agree with their hits and misses?
Well, I'm taking this list that I've got in front of me.
So you're going to
go through here as we get to the closing minutes of the show. And Automotive News, the editors there say that the new Nissan Altima is a hit. Whereas the miss is a GMC Sierra 4 AT4, which there's an article about that. I don't know what the Sierra. This is a full size GMC pickup, counterpart to the Chevrolet version Silverados, and AT4 is meant to be a specific model, and it probably's got, maybe it's got cladding on it or something. One of the other misses to me, and I think it's a hit to the Automotive News people. Is the Cadillac CT6 V Sport. Cadillac has got some seriously bright front-end driving, daylight driving lights that are annoyingly bright, and they've got big sort of vertical light bars going down the sideline of their fenders from the top of the hood to the, if not the bottom of the fender skirt, pretty close to it. Needlessly brilliant in daytime, and it's probably overcome a little bit by the use of the headlights at nighttime, but it's almost garishly too much, in my opinion.
They're probably bringing back the fins.
When you're driving the car, you don't see it, so you owners who like these Cadillacs, and they build a fairly good car, I believe, although I haven't had one in my career, and I haven't driven one lately, getting a little bit, maybe a little bit too garish in their exterior.
Who makes Cadillac?
General Motors.
Okay.
It's their luxury version, like the Lincoln.
Right, but every
and
so
I'm going to look at the Lincoln lineup pretty carefully because they're coming in with a a new model called the Aviator. It's a utility sport vehicle, and I believe it's going to be at the auto show, too. And I don't know what it looks like other than a black and white picture here in front of me. And
have they fixed up their grill? A few years ago, their grills were like giant whales ready to...
Yeah, so they've changed it to a much nicer one, okay. Which they've been merging into all their model lines with some of the waterfall grills that you're talking about still existing in some
of
the
models.
Models. That's what they called it,
they
the waterfall grill.
They didn't call it giant
grill.
Whale getting ready
to... I also
to
want
bike.
To look at the Subaru Ascent because I think it's going to be a real hit for Subaru owners who want something bigger than the Outback, which is currently the biggest sort of wagon-back vehicle in their lineup, and they have to move on, as Subaru says. We want to try to hold our loyalty owners to our line of cars instead of having them move to Audi Q7s or BMW X5s or 7s, whatever. And so that's going to be interesting to look at, as well as the VW Atlas, which is a similar upgrade or upsized vehicle to the Subaru Ascent. VW is trying to get into the three-row SUV. I still call it pretty much a wagon look type of vehicle with all the other competitors out there. It's the largest vehicle in Volkswagen's SUV crossover lineup, and it is recently hit. There's one running around, a white one, nice looking, running around our broadcast corner here, and I saw a number of them in Canada, so they're selling apparently pretty well in Canada.
Diesel?
And they're rough. No, well, in Canada they may have a diesel. I didn't see whether they were diesels. I couldn't get close enough to the rear to see a little badge that they usually put on diesels.
Canada does not have the diesel problem that we do, or not?
They do not, right. Apparently. They're still selling Volkswagen. Well, maybe they're not.
The TDIs.
I don't know what they do. There are two TDIs, badged vehicles running around, and they may be older, so I don't know whether they're selling new ones or not. In the meantime, in the U.S., there are several hundred thousand TDI Volkswagens of assorted models, from Beetles to Jettas to Golfs, that are sitting in parking lot sized emporiums around the United States, because they are not, I guess they're starting to refit them to make them saleable, but several hundred thousand were turned in.
I guess what I'm wondering is, can they be exported?
Well, they're not exporting them so far.
Right, but they haven't refit them so far.
There are refitted diesels now on sale at Valenti, which is a dealership you know and I know, and other VW dealers. I haven't gone to see them, but Jay, who's missing from our show this morning, has seen them available for purchase. I think the purchase prices are probably pretty darn good.
Have we spoken to anyone who has tried it out? I'm just curious.
No.
You know, the speed-wise,
no,
or
action. I don't
have
a first-hand use of a refitted one to see whether it runs as well, gets as good mileage.
Because
there have been reports about that isn't the case with the refitted ones, but I don't know.
It's like, how bad is it really? Or
and
how
Jay
good
will it? Report in a subsequent show as we get to close on his refitment of his Volkswagen Touareg, which is a diesel and is slated to be refitted because it has been recalled as well. And he got some money back for it, but he's holding on to it because he loves that vehicle.
He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.